Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 267, stanzas 1 through 4. Jehovah reigns supreme. Let nations tremble now. He dwells between the cherubim. Let earth before him bow. 1 through 4 of Psalter 267. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the first epistle general of John, in the fourth chapter, 1 John chapter 4. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, we have read a little portion of thy holy word, written by thy servant, and as we have read, consciously inspired by thee, knowing that he was of God, and that he did write what thou commandedst him to write. Lord, may thou remember thy church, oh, that they also may be given a desire to be able to speak even as thy servant, that they may be given that conscious knowledge, not of inspiration of thy holy scriptures, but a conscious knowledge that that love of God is shed abroad in their own heart, and that thou lovest them, and that therefore they do love thee. Oh, then they may experience that thou art the Alpha, that thou art the beginning, over and over in their life. Because from their own side there is no love for thee, nor is there love for one another. But, Lord, wilt thou work it in thy church in great measure in the days in which we live, that it also may be evident in the place in which we live, in the community in which we live, that they may also be given to speak and to say, behold, how they love one another, and that so they may be drawn, seeing that it is a people loved of God. Lord, do instruct each and every one of us. We are lovers of self. We are haters of God by nature. Oh, what a great change that needs to take place in our hearts. Thou alone art the mighty one. Thou alone art able to work it by thy Spirit. Oh Lord, we beseech it of thee once again in this afternoon hour upon thy day, when we are gathered in thy house of prayer. Oh, may it be not without thee, but that thy presence may also be felt in the midst of us in this hour. that thou may go from pew to pew and from heart to heart, to touch our hearts with that love that will draw our hearts to seek after thee while it is still a day of grace. Oh, that we may be drawn, and then we will run after thee. Lord, remember us then for thy own name's sake. Oh, glorify thyself in the life and in the heart of each and every one of us. Do keep us from all iniquity, and wilt thou take away all our sins. Oh, do wash and cleanse us in the precious blood of thy dear Son, and that we may be justified thereby in that great court of God, in which thou wilt be our judge. Oh, that thou may receive us without a spot or wrinkle in and through that blessed work which was accomplished upon a cursed tree, by which thou didst testify that thou hadst received it and accepted it, and that thy justice was satisfied. Lord, may it be also on behalf of each and every one of us and our dear children, that thy love may dwell within us, and that we may be drawn to seek and to serve thee. Remember us in all the needs of this life. Lord, wilt thou be with each and every one of thy servants that go over this world to bring thy word. Thou knowest who are thine. Then we must say that there are many false prophets that are gone out into the world, and they go without being sent, and their instruction is to the downfall of so many souls. Lord, may thou turn it about. When they have run of their own accord, oh, could it please thee yet even to convert them? And wilt thou give them to bring thy truth, as it may be given by thee in thy word, that men may not be deceived on that serious and all-decisive journey to that great eternity, and that thy word may also be brought to the length and the breadth of the world. Lord, send forth more servants into thy vineyard truly converted and called by thee. Oh, work thou that also new ones may be sent amongst us as a denomination, for there are still many vacant congregations that have no under shepherd to go in and out amongst them, and the labors are so many that we are not able to perform them all sufficiently. Lord, could it please thee to remember us in the months to come? And oh, may thou give men of thy own choosing, give us all together a cry to thee, that thou may work and that thou may thrust them forth, that we may also be kept from making ministers ourselves, which can only be to the downfall of the denomination. Lord, remember us in mercy and keep us on every side. Oh, that truth that thou hast given unto us by our forefathers, that it may remain amongst us, and that every force that is coming within the churches to take it away may be put away by thee, that we may be made watchful on the walls of Zion, that we may be faithful in thy service, the office bearers, the elders in a special way, that they may search thy word continually, and the doctrine which is according to true faith, that they also may be given to watch over that word which is brought from Sabbath to Sabbath day, that the responsibility may be felt, and that thou would give thy blessing unto us as a congregation, but also as a denomination. Lord, remember also the mission field. Thou knowest all the circumstances. Do remember the delegates of the board that must meet in the week to come. Wilt thou give traveling mercies, and wilt thou be amongst them as they labor to make decisions that are so necessary for the benefit of that work. Lord, may thou provide also one to go upon the mission field that may preach thy word, and that thou may not leave that work. Remember all those that are persecuted for thy name's sake. There are also those places over the length and breadth of this world where they are not permitted by governments to meet. And Lord, thou knowest the suffering in order to gather around thy holy word. That thou may remember them. Lord, may thou encourage, may thou supply, and may thou keep away the devices of that prince of darkness who would not have thy word to be spread abroad. But wilt thou also remember when thy word that is corrupted by so many, so that men are not heathens, but that they are learning nothing but error, and they are deceived as they think to cry out one day to thee, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Lord, may thou undeceive. Oh, may thou give that thy truth, that it may be experienced, that it may be learned in the heart, and that thy truth may redound to thy honor and to thy glory. Oh, then it is necessary that thou would blow upon the garden of thy church, that thou would give true conversions. Oh, forget not us who have been taught the truth our whole life long, and who often despise all that is given unto us, taking everything so for granted. Lord, wilt thou show it to us, that we may be given to a wonder, that thou givest unto us what we do not deserve, that it may break our hearts, and that we may be affected in our soul. Wilt thou go with all those that suffer from serious diseases, those that live in places where there is famine, where there are difficulties and troubles, where there is warfare. Oh, that thou would remember the soldiers also that fight upon the battlefields. They are in danger moment by moment, and they also have a soul for that never-ending eternity. Oh, Lord, protect them. Oh, remember their wives and their children and their parents at home. Strengthen them also and give them a place by thee. Lord, may thou be with all those that mourn. Be with all that are afflicted and all those that are sick. Do remember our school, the principal, the teachers, and all those that labor there from day to day. Oh, grant thy spirit in a rich measure, and that all error also may be kept out of that place, and also a wandering in the paths that have not been taught us by our forefathers. Lord, may thou keep us on every side. Oh, give true conversion unto our teachers, that a reverence for thy word and for thy truth may be felt by our children, and that thy word also may be blessed unto them. Be with us also now in this afternoon hour. Lord, we ask of thee once again that thou may come to dwell in the midst of us, because when we will be left by thee, then it can be of no profit. Lord, wilt thou take of thy law, which we must explain in this afternoon. Oh, give us liberty therein, but wilt thou use it, Lord? Oh, that thou may use it to bring a man, a woman, a boy or a girl in the guilt, that we must smite upon our breast, and that we might cry out, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And where sin has never been known and experienced in our life, oh, that thou may open it unto us, that thy dear Son may become so necessary in our life, and precious and suitable for the most wicked transgressor, for the chiefest of the sinners. Lord, remember us, forgive us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 13, stanzas 1, 2, 5, and 6. Jehovah, my God, on thy help I depend. From all that pursue me, O save and defend, lest they like a lion should rend me at will, while no one is near me, they're raging too still. The last collection today is for the building fund, Psalter 13, 1, 2, 5, and 6. Congregation, how soon after the fall did the extent of the fall make itself evident? When the first person who was born into this world became a murderer. When the second person that was born in this world was murdered. Thus we must say that in the murderous times in which you and I are living, that this is certainly not something that is new, but that has existed even from the very beginning. But how many millions and millions of people from that day until this day have not come to their, humanly speaking, premature end? Man who has no regard for God and His law, has no regard for the sanctity of human life. But the Lord says in His law, thou shalt not kill. Thus, congregation, how is this with us? Concerning this holy commandment of the Lord, you say, I have killed no one. Neither do I have such an intention in my heart. Certainly we hope not. But does that make us, congregation, any different from Cain? We wish to consider this with the Lord's help in this afternoon hour from Lord's Day 40, questions 105 through 107. Lord's Day 40, question 105. What doth God require in the sixth commandment? Answer, that neither in thoughts, nor words, nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor, by myself, or by another, but that I lay aside all desire of revenge, also that I hurt not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any danger. Wherefore also the magistrate is armed with the sword to prevent murder. Question 106, but this commandment seems only to speak of murder. Answer, in forbidding murder, God teaches us that He abhors the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, and desire of revenge, and that He accounts all these as murder. Question 107, but is it enough that we do not kill any man in the manner mentioned above? Answer, no. For when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, He commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness towards him, and prevent his hurt as much as in us lies, and that we do good even to our enemies. So far, our Lord's Day. Obedience to the sixth commandment first, obedience to its prohibitions. Second, obedience to its commands. Obedience to the sixth commandment First, obedience to its prohibitions, and second, obedience to its commands. Congregation, the devil is a murderer. He is a murderer, we read from the beginning. He has sought the life of man, even as it was given to him in paradise, and has become the instrument to bring about that threefold death. We can read, boys and girls, how that the Lord Jesus has often cast out devils when he was here upon the earth. And then you read something very remarkable, how that very often such a devil, before that he would go out, would make an attempt to kill and that person whom he had taken possession of. So we see that also in our days, that devil, he has and does remain the same. He is the prince of this world. And when we may see a little bit from time to time that and hear a little bit that goes on in this world, then we can see how that the devil, he is working with that murderous spirit within that world in which we are living. There is in our world very little value for human life. How many millions and millions of unborn are mercilessly destroyed even within the womb. There is so little value for life when a man has become old, when persons are frail in this world, then it is considered that it is better that they go out of this life than that they remain. The television, the movies, the videos, and they are full of murder. It is astounding. And when you sit today on an airplane, and then also we see how that the devil is progressing, that now on the newer airplanes, that there is a screen in front of every single person so that everyone may watch whatever he desires. And when your eyes may see a little bit, just a little bit of what everyone is watching in this world, then we must say that the devil has a firm hold of the hearts of men, and that he is placing the seeds also of murder, because it is all over that television screen. And congregation, it belongs not in our homes, please. Also the videos, we understand the librarians that they say that most of the videos that are going out are to young people from our churches. Or what is happening within our own homes. How the devil is making everything so available, young people. Oh, do not desire to poison your mind with the works of the devil, the work of Satan, who is the murderer from the beginning. What is that judgment day going to be? When we have to stand before God, and when the Lord would bring only this commandment in front of men in our world. Thou shalt not kill. On the other hand, we see how that man, as he overturns so many laws in the nation, is also overturning in many ways and the holy law of God, so that man, he may not even kill an animal, because the word of God that says, thou shalt not kill. But it is nothing but a perversion of that holy law of God, because it says, actually, thou shalt not murder. Then it speaks not about animals who have no soul, but it is speaking about the murdering of men. Not that we may just treat our animals as we please. Remember that, boys and girls. Animals have not sinned, and what an animal has to suffer, that is because not of their sin, but of our sin. And therefore Solomon says that a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. On the other hand, we know that after the flood, the Lord has given unto man every animal also for meat. Even as we read, every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things. We know there are also those who call themselves pacifists. Thus, they object to going to war, such as the Socinians, the Mennonites. But this is also a perversion of that holy law of God. War and the necessity of war has been brought into this world because of our sin. But a just war that is not wrong in the sight of God, that has actually often been commanded by God himself, that he has sent his own people to the warfare. Only those that are in charge, they have a duty that they do not shed innocent blood needlessly. Warfare, that is the responsibility of government. But not only government and not only warfare, but also putting to death the murderer. Today, man wants to take away the right of the government to put to death the murderer. But God himself has a right to take away the life of man. And God himself has given that responsibility and that authority into the hands of the government, that they may carry out justice. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. Thus, those who fight against the institution of the death penalty fight against God himself. You say, young people, but sometimes innocent people are put to death. That may be. That is, however, not the cause, and not caused by the institution of the death penalty. But that lies in the justice system itself. That is why our government has a duty to be sure that such a person is guilty before that they are sentencing them unto death. It is possible, therefore, that the government itself becomes guilty of murder. The Lord has rebuked his own people that they have not put away that sin that was among them. Thus, our government that is guilty when it does not stand for righteousness and justice, when it does not condemn those that are guilty and set free those that are innocent? Is it ever permissible to kill a person as a private citizen? Self-defense is not unlawful when our own life is in danger or when the life of another person is in danger. Blood was not required in the Old Testament. And when a person had found a thief and he had smitten him, and that thief has died. But we are not required then to allow ourselves, to permit ourselves to be simply at the hand and at the will of a murderer. However, if it is possible that we may escape in another way, then we have that responsibility. How awful, congregation, is the sin of murder. That is contempt for that life that God has created and given to each one of us. Skin for skin, all that a man hath he will give for his life. And yet he will take the life of another. And today Satan is so strongly working that he has man even desiring to take away his own life. This is that man that the Lord has created in his own image. This is how far that man has fallen. And the blood of Abel and the blood of every one of God's children that has died by the hands of murderers, that is crying unto God for vengeance. But also how awful that it is when those who are unregenerate are slain, and in one moment and they are standing before the judge of heaven and of earth. But it has not to do only, as our fathers say, with the outward deed, but at that law of God. And that is also extending to our heart. And so we read it in our catechism. In forbidding murder, God teaches us that he abhors the causes thereof, such as envy, hatred, anger, and desire of revenge, and that he accounts all these as murder. And therefore we are instructed that neither in thoughts, nor words, nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor by myself or by another, but that I lay aside all desire of revenge. Also that I hurt not myself, nor willfully expose myself to any danger. What do we read here? Our fathers say the cause of murder. Thus our fathers speak about the seeds that are lying in the heart of fallen man, the seeds of murder. Murder that does not begin with the outward deed. Murder always takes place first within the heart. Thus, it is not only the criminals that are lying in the prisons, but this seed of murder is laying in the heart of every fallen creature in this world. Our fathers speak about envy. Envy is the seed of murder. Does that lie also in our heart? Envy, what is that? Discontentment at the advantage of someone else. Oh, Saul envied David. And he was never permitted by the Lord to slay him. But he has slain him many times in his heart. Joab envied Abner. And for that reason, he slew him. Envy, hatred, a strong dislike for another person. Does hatred also lie within our heart? Anger. There is a righteous anger. The Lord has a righteous anger. We read that the Lord Jesus, that he has pronounced woe after woe against the Pharisees and the scribes. Why? Because they were deceiving the people. There are those that will not even give an angry, a cross look at another person. And then when they sin against God, that is wrong, parents. That is wrong, teachers. Solomon writes, how that the north wind driveth away rain, so does an angry countenance drive away a backbiting tongue. Thus, it is necessary that we are also showing in our countenance the anger that the Lord has himself against sin. Paul says to Titus, the Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Thus, sometimes anger is necessary and sometimes it is required of us. Today, man wants to deal it always in so-called love. But when we will not make evident the anger of the Lord against sin, that is no love. On the other hand, we must always be careful. Why? Because God's anger is pure, but our anger is impure. And if there may be in our heart that smallest part of a righteous anger against sin, then along with it is often lying an anger because we ourselves have been offended. Thus, we need to be careful because our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The Lord Jesus says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Thus, anger without cause, murder. Our fathers mentioned desire of revenge. Congregation, who of us does not feel this by times within our heart, a desire for revenge? Young people, you're offended and you are going to get him back. You are going to take revenge. Zechariah says, let none of you imagine evil in his heart against his brother Esau, has slain his brother Jacob with that desire for revenge that was lying in his heart. He accounts all these as murder. Thus, congregation, when he accounts all these as murder, are we also then a murderer? Because then our Father shows something of the spirituality of the law. Not only the letter of the law, thou shalt not kill, so that when we are free from the justice system of our country, we are free from guilt before God. But they speak about the spirit of the law, or the spirituality of the law. Not only the deeds, but the thoughts and the words and the gestures. Do you ever feel that? That you have a murderous heart? That if the Lord did not actually restrain us, that he did not actually put a wall, a fence about us, then with that murderous heart that we would actually slay one another. Is it ever a wonder to us that it is not us that is sitting within that prison? That neither in thoughts nor words nor gestures, much less in deeds, I dishonor, hate, wound, or kill my neighbor by myself or by another. Thus you are not guiltless, Jezebel, though you have not touched with your hand one stone that has hit Naboth. And you are not guiltless, Ahab, when you had the ability to cause this thing to not take place. Therefore, David was not guiltless. That is why God's servant came to him and says, thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. Though David had no sword in his own hand. Our fathers speak about neglecting safety. Neglecting the safety of others. Neglecting the safety of ourselves. About willfully exposing ourselves to danger. Oh, young people. That is often done by young people. That they are daring each other to do very dangerous things, to climb a very steep cliff, to race in your cars with one another, and to do some other dangerous and daring sport. But then we willfully expose ourselves unto danger. And then we are guilty also of that sin of murder, that is, murder of ourselves. Congregation, do you smoke? What is that? What is that but willfully exposing ourselves unto danger? Say, very, very difficult to stop smoking. That is true, young people. Remember that. And we may feel something for those who have been doing this sin for many, many years. But it remains what it is. that is actually to bring death upon ourselves. Our instructors speak about wounding a person, fighting with one another, that is murder. They say not only in deeds, but also in words. Do you do that, young people, children, boys and girls? Words, they can cause great wounds. Were you ever wounded, boys and girls, by a word? If you were ever wounded by a word, then you will be careful that you will not wound others by your words. Or it is possible when we give false accusations, especially when it is in court, that we sin against the Lord. The Jews never laid one hand upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, the apostle, he has accused them of putting the Lord Jesus to death. "You have killed," he said, "the Prince of Life. Thou shalt not kill." No, the greatest part of mankind, they have never killed another man. The greatest part. And yet there is not one person in this whole world that is not guilty of this sin before the Lord. Let us sing from Psalter 41, stanzas 1 and 5, 6 and 7. "Most perfect is the law of God, restoring those that stray. His testimony is most sure, proclaiming wisdom's way." 1, 5, 6 and 7 of Psalter 41. But is it enough that we do not kill any man in the manner mentioned above? Answer, no. For when God forbids envy, hatred, and anger, he commands us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to show patience, peace, meekness, mercy, and all kindness towards him, and prevent his hurt as much as in us lies, and that we do good even to our enemies. The opposite congregation of hatred is love. Thus, when hatred is forbidden, that means on the other side that love is commanded. Our instructors mention then those virtues that are required by God's law, patience, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another if any man have a quarrel against any. Thus our fathers will show to us not only the sins of commission, but they lay before us also the sins of omission. What are those things that we then omit, which we may not omit? Love. Love is not easily provoked. Love beareth all things. Love endureth all things. Is that our life? Is that our character? Is that our nature? How patiently that the Lord is bearing with his church, even when they are provoking him to anger day by day, and we are provoked so easily, and then we are ready right away to cut off our neighbor. Patience. Peace. Do we look for peace? And a putting to the end of all strife? And putting to end all of the causes of our striving with one another? Solomon says the beginning of strife is as when one letteth out water. Therefore leave off contention before it be meddled with. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. An honor, boys and girls, an honor when we stop the fighting, not when we stand up for ourselves, but an honor when we cease from strife. And when we will learn in our youth how to cease from strife and how to put away the causes of strife, then that carries over also into our adulthood. Blessed are the peacemakers, the Lord Jesus says, for they shall be called the children of God. There are some things that are especially opposed to peace. What does Solomon say? He says, cast out the scorner, and contention shall cease. But especially congregation, gossiping, tale-bearing, that does not put an end to strife. What does the Lord say? A whisperer separated very friends. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. When there is no one to continue it, when there is no one to pick up the phone and to call the neighbor and say this and that, then it stops. Oh, not that peace is to be sought at all costs, because the command of the Lord, that is to be held above everything, truth, is not to be sacrificed for peace. That is what our world desires. And that is what we are going to see if the Lord spares us in the future. Because the world, even with its United Nations, is calling for peace. And peace, yes, we ought to seek. But what is blamed for the greatest amount of trouble and warfare in this world, that is religion. The strife between religions. So what is the world saying? And then we must put away all this strife. Then we must have all one religion, or we all must be tolerant of one another and tolerant of everything and tolerant also of evil and of sin. And when we all will tolerate, then there shall be peace. And this is impossible because the Lord does not tolerate sin and the Lord does not tolerate false worship. Thus we may not seek peace at every cost. Our fathers speak about meekness. Moses, meek above every man upon the face of the earth, the Lord Jesus, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. That does not mean that we have to give into everything. That does not mean that everyone may then have their own way, all others. That does not mean that we will not have any enemies. Moses also had enemies. The Lord Jesus Christ also had enemies. Meekness, that is not the same thing as weakness or carelessness. But meekness means that I am not easily becoming angry when I am personally offended. Meekness is turning the cheek. Meekness is not rendering evil for evil. Mercy, our fathers speak about, that does not rejoice in our brother's calamity. It seeks to assist even our enemies. The Good Samaritan places himself in the position of those who are in need regarding the distresses, the miseries of our fellow man. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Kindness our fathers speak of. Peter says, be courteous. What are our words? What are our gestures towards one another? Solomon speaks about the virtuous woman. In her tongue, he says, is the law of kindness. Is that also in our tongue? Also, when we must rebuke, as our duty is, our fellow man, our brother in this world, all that may be done also in a way of kindness. Prevent the hurt of our neighbor. Look for his good and welfare. The Lord says, Cain says, am I my brother's keeper? What is the answer to that, boys and girls? Do you know? Am I my brother's keeper? Do I have to take care of my brother? The answer to that is yes. We are our brother's keeper. Congregation, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not kill. How is it? Can we say that I am clean? Or must we not say that the seeds of iniquity, and oh, even more than just the seeds, maybe that has come out often in my life, maybe it has come out even of my mouth. Paul says, filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. That is the evil that is lying within our hearts. Do we ever feel it? Do we watch, congregation? Do we watch the inner workings of our own hearts? What is happening in our heart? What is happening in our mind? Do we watch what our thoughts are? The Lord Jesus says, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth. Why? Because it is proceeding from our heart. How then only can we stand before the Lord with such a heart? Because my heart, maybe I can hide the evil from my fellow man when I am very careful. But I cannot hide my thoughts and my intentions and my envy and so forth. I cannot hide it from the Lord. Oh, do you ever feel, congregation, the fountain? It is the law of God. And one of that is not only a rule of life for God's true people, but one of the functions of that law is to do what? That is to convict of sin. Oh, do we ever feel that sin? When we will see, when we will watch, when we will look in our hearts, then we will find that our heart is nothing less than a fountain. It is a fountain of evil thoughts. And even that wretched seed of murder that is found within our hearts. Oh, do you ever see what is lying there? Does that ever burden you? Is that ever making you to walk bowed down over this world? Do you ever struggle against it? Do you ever seek to purify that heart? To cleanse it? Do you ever experience the impossibility of cleansing that heart? Oh, do you ever see a need of another fountain? Do you ever see a need for that fountain of righteousness that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who had not one sinful deed, not only, but not one sinful thought? Not one sinful desire. No, in him is only purity. And that is it which by which he has purchased his church. Oh, that innocent one has poured out his blood. And that blood, congregation, that is as a fountain. a fountain that is able to justify and to sanctify every person in this world. Oh, your fountain of iniquity that is lying in our heart, that is not too great, that is not too evil to be so completely washed by that fountain of righteousness. No murderer shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven as long as they continue in this sin. But when we may be justified, when we may be sanctified, when we may be washed, when we may be cleansed by that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we shall be received without spot or wrinkle before His Father in heaven. Oh, that we may seek for it, that we may ask the Lord, open to me my guilt and show to me that blessed fountain, that so we may be cleansed and that so we may stand before God, be reconciled to Him and dwell with Him in holiness to a never-ending eternity. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we can only stammer a little bit of that evil that lies in our hearts. It is so much deeper. It is so much more sinful than we can lay out with our words, because it is against not only our neighbor, but it is against Thee, who art so pure, who art so holy, and who art a God of love, as we have read in Thy Word. Lord, remember us. Oh, convert us. Oh, forgive us. And open to us something of that blessed fountain that is found in the blood of Thy dear Son. Look on us in the week to come, that Thy word may be the thought, the meditation of our hearts. Keep each one of us in the way that we walk in this life, from evil and sin, danger and harm. Remember us when we are gathered for catechism and confession classes also. And each one of us in our calling in this life, oh, may that one thing needful be bound upon our hearts, be the subject of our thought and our conversation, that we may urge one another on to seek and to know Thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 110, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let Thy kindness and Thy truth preserve me evermore. For countless ills have compassed me, my sinful deeds arise, yea, they have overtaken me. I dare not raise my eyes. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 110. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.